You are going to listen to a recording about how much freedom children should be given. First, you will have 45 seconds to study the task below. Then you will hear the recording twice. While listening, choose the correct answer, A, B, C, or D, for each question, 1 to 7. Put a cross in the correct box on the answer sheet. The first one, 0, has been done for you. After the second listening, you will have 45 seconds to check your answers.
So, how much freedom should we allow our children, and at what stage? It's a tough call. We asked two parents how they viewed this tricky question.
My name's Caroline, I've got three children. I've got a girl of 9, a boy of 11, and a boy of 13, and I have a husband as well. I've always encouraged my children to be very independent. I've let them cross roads probably from about 7 or 8 by themselves. The first few times I've watched them, I've taught them how to do it, I've watched them from behind. My 11-year-old for the last 2 years has been taking the dog by himself to the woods and walking around the woods. They've all been on buses by themselves and certainly on the tube from at least age 10 by themselves. My daughter was probably 8 when I left her by herself. We have good neighbours. I have a mobile phone. Before then, I would check that she knew how to call me on it, and I would actually test her or test the boys, that they could actually phone me and wait for the connection and tell me what the problem was. We've had some good family friends in Poland for a number of years, and my children have wanted to go and visit them. So they've gone as unaccompanied minors on British Airways, where an auntie is provided. You pay £50 for each journey, and that any child from 6 years of age can go on a plane by themselves. Interestingly, my children find it rather suffocating, because this person is with you all the time. You can go to the toilet by yourself, but apart from that, this person's stuck to you like glue, and in fact they find it rather irritating. And my older son, now that he's over 12 on many airlines, can fly independently, he's much keener to do that. Interestingly, I once had my nephew on holiday with me, and he of his own choosing has been very dependent, and he was water skiing in a park with my children, and he had a tummy ache, and he had a phone, and he must have phoned me 20-30 times about the various stages of his tummy ache. And I think he's very, very dependent, and so this is a relationship that's been encouraged, so that he is unable to deal with any little problem. And with my children, because they have to get from A to B, they're much more resourceful. So when there's a problem, and life is full of problems, and I think as a parent, we are doing no service to our children by ironing over every little problem, making everything easy. They'll go to university, and the first crisis, the first girlfriend that leaves them, the first time that there's a problem, they won't be able to cope.
My name is Wendy, and my daughter is 7. We went on holiday this year abroad, and we stayed in a complex, which even though it's kind of locked in, you're still aware that people can get in the complex. So I think there's that, I call it the Maddie effect, you know, but we're all much more aware of what's going on around those places. But we did let her go a little bit more, but I have to say my partner was lurking in the bushes quite a bit, like spying, which was quite funny, whereas I was reading a book and a little bit more relaxed about it. I'm very aware, you know, that we live in a city where things can happen in a heartbeat. Everything can change in a heartbeat. And I think when you grow up in that kind of environment, you want to protect your kids. You can't help but being overprotective a little bit about them. And even though, you know, I'm a very independent woman, and I grew up traveling a lot and going away, and I remember, you know, going off to India and my mum kind of look at me in just dismay. There's always that what if, you know, that horrible feeling of what if happens. So we're always going to be aware of that. Would I allow my daughter to cross a busy road by herself? I have to say no right now. I just know that she's so easily distracted. She'll be thinking about playing with a friend next door, or something that's going on in school, or something far more excited, or, oh my God, look, there's a such and such bird, or something's going on that's far more interesting than quite paying enough attention to what's going on. Even though she's very good and she's bright, there's always that it only takes an instant, doesn't it? An instant when something goes horribly wrong. And at the moment, I'm not comfortable letting her cross the road by herself. I wouldn't at the moment, I have to say.
So, how much freedom should we allow our children, and at what stage? It's a tough call. We asked two parents how they viewed this tricky question.
My name's Caroline. I've got three children. I've got a girl of 9, a boy of 11, and a boy of 13, and I have a husband as well. I've always encouraged my children to be very independent. I've let them cross roads probably from about 7 or 8 by themselves. The first few times I've watched them, I've taught them how to do it. I've watched them from behind. My 11-year-old for the last 2 years has been taking the dog by himself to the woods and walking around the woods. They've all been on buses by themselves and certainly on the tube from at least age 10 by themselves. My daughter was probably 8 when I left her by herself. We have good neighbours. I have a mobile phone. Before then, I would check that she knew how to call me on it, and I would actually test her or test the boys that they could actually phone me and wait for the connection and tell me what the problem was. We've had some good family friends in Poland for a number of years, and my children have wanted to go and visit them. So they've gone as unaccompanied minors on British Airways, where an auntie is provided. You pay £50 for each journey, and that any child from 6 years of age can go on a plane by themselves. Interestingly, my children find it rather suffocating, because this person is with you all the time. You can go to the toilet by yourself, but apart from that, this person's stuck to you like glue, and in fact they find it rather irritating. And my older son, now that he's over 12 on many airlines, can fly independently, he's much keener to do that. Interestingly, I once had my nephew on holiday with me, and he of his own choosing has been very dependent, and he was water skiing in a park with my children, and he had a tummy ache and he had a phone, and he must have phoned me 20-30 times about the various stages of his tummy ache. And I think he's very, very dependent, and so this is a relationship that's been encouraged so that he is unable to deal with any little problem. And with my children, because they have to get from A to B, they're much more resourceful. So when there's a problem, and life is full of problems, and I think as a parent, we are doing no service to our children by ironing over every little problem, making everything easy. They'll go to university, and the first crisis, the first girlfriend that leaves them, the first time that there's a problem, they won't be able to cope.
My name is Wendy, and my daughter is 7. We went on holiday this year abroad, and we stayed in a complex, which, even though it's kind of locked in, you're still aware that people can get in the complex. So I think there's that, I call it the Maddie effect, you know, we're all much more aware of what's going on around those places. But we did let her go a little bit more. But I have to say, my partner was lurking in the bushes quite a bit, like spying, which was quite funny, whereas I was reading the book and a little bit more relaxed about it. I'm very aware, you know, that we live in a city where things can happen in a heartbeat. Everything can change in a heartbeat. And I think when you grow up in that kind of environment, you want to protect your kids. You can't help but being overprotective a little bit about them. And even though, you know, I'm a very independent woman, and I grew up travelling a lot and going away, and I remember, you know, going off to India and my mum kind of look at me in just dismay. There's always that what if, you know, that horrible feeling of what if happens. So we're always going to be aware of that. Would I allow my daughter to cross a busy road by herself? I have to say no right now. I just know that she's so easily distracted. She'll be thinking about playing with a friend next door, or something that's going on in school, or something far more excited, or, oh my God, look, there's a such and such bird, or something's going on that's far more interesting than quite paying enough attention to what's going on. Even though she's very good and she's bright, there's always that it only takes an instant, doesn't it? An instant when something goes horribly wrong. And at the moment, I'm not comfortable letting her cross the road by herself. I wouldn't at the moment, I have to say.